Welcome to this episode of Wildcast. I'm your host, Matt Blymeyer.
Our guest today is our head men's and women's cross country coach, Tom Leeser. Tom, thank you so much for joining us. I'm going to scrap the traditional rundown that we normally do. Your path to being the head coach at Penn College is untraditional in some ways. You had spent your professional life as a math teacher in the Milton School District, as well as their cross country and track and field coach for 20 years. After you retired, you followed your son's collegiate track and field or cross country performance, and then you needed something to do. And lucky for us, we had something for you to do. Talk to us about your past, your experience as the scholastic track and field coach, cross country coach, your time as a math teacher, and then why you decided that you were potentially interested in being a head cross country coach at the collegiate level.
Well, first, my high school coaching and teaching, I found that as a teacher, coaching was really a beneficial. It made me a better teacher in the classroom. Teaching made me a better coach because it built relationships with kids. And at that level, having success meant getting kids to come out for your program, getting kids to participate, and getting kids who were willing to work hard and improve and kind of reach goals that you set for them or they set for themselves. And so at that high school level, I would say it was a lot about relationships. And I think I would say that carries over to here. I made the choice to coach again. I don't say out of boredom. It wasn't really that. It was just more of a new challenge, a new age group. And I found that I really enjoy the, I call them young adults. They're not kids anymore. It's been really interesting learning more about what Penn College does academically and the opportunities that our student athletes have. And we're hoping to, I guess, each season create a team where those new students coming in feel like they want to be part of something. Most of them had friends they grew up with in high school and participated in athletics in high school, and now they're coming here and everybody's just new. And so the team gives them a chance to have a little family away from home, so to speak. And that's something we talk a lot about in addition to the, you know, the physical side of training. But back to the decision to coach here, I think it was a lot of encouragement from my family. I think they felt like coaching was something that I always enjoyed and had some success at. I think their encouragement was a big reason why I decided to give it a shot.
Yeah, so this, I believe it would have been probably, I think, the spring or summer of 2021, right? Nick Patton, our coach at the time, had accepted a job somewhere else. And so we had this position open. Nick had done a good job of building a program, and the position was open. And I know for us, we were looking for somebody that could jump right in and not skip a beat. That's what we were looking for. When you saw the position, what intrigued you about it? And maybe what were you looking for next in your coaching career?
Well, I didn't really know a lot about the team's history. I didn't really know a lot about the conference that they were in. I knew a little bit about Penn College as a school from some of my former students and some of my former athletes who came here. In fact, one of my former athletes was in his final year here when I was deciding to come here, and he was kind of like, well, why don't you come before? Because, you know, that we had a pretty good relationship. So I knew about the school, but I didn't really know much about college athletics. And so I think a lot of my questions that I had, you know, if I were to look back at, you know, what kind of questions did I ask in the interview, that was pretty much the things I was looking to find out.
You had I believe a notepad full of questions, and they were good questions. I remember the process that I'm pretty sure it was a notebook, and you were just crossing them off as you asked them, and you're like, I think that's all I have. If I have any more, can I ask? Like, absolutely. We want you to know everything about what you're potentially getting into. So from there, you interviewed, we offered you the position. What's the process when you get the phone call that you were the person we wanted? Like I said, we didn't want to skip a beat for what had been built, and then we knew there was another level we could reach. We thought and turned out to be correct that you were the person to get us there and to lead this program. On the other end of that phone call is you. What are you processing through that time? It's a big decision to put that time, effort, and energy into coaching again, considering you had been retired from for 4 years, and now you're going to get back into doing stuff that is, while it is a part-time position, it takes full-time energy.
Yeah. Well, first off, in those 4 years between my high school teaching and coming here, I still continue to do some things. I worked with some student teachers through Susquehanna University. So I was working with college age students, and I enjoyed that process. So there was some of that thinking, well, it's coaching, it's not necessarily supervising student teachers, but it's still that age group. But I think I never saw myself as a college coach. I didn't personally participate in sports in college. I kind of always viewed that path to becoming a college coach as different than the path I took. And so in a way that was, you know, I was kind of flattered that I had the qualifications, kind of had the traits that you guys were looking for.
Nice. First season ever being a head coach. What are you thinking going into that season? I'm sure you're drawing on some of your past. I imagine greatly that you're drawing on your past experience as a high school coach. Did you know it was going to be different coaching at the collegiate level? I'm sure the races are a little bit longer. The periodization is probably a little bit different than it would have been high school. When did you figure out the differences? How did you figure it out? What was that process in year one of acclimating yourself to the collegiate level?
Well, I think I've always done this in my coaching. As I've asked, you mentioned asking a lot of questions in the interview. I ask a lot of questions of my athletes. How are you feeling today? How do you feel after we did 2 hard workouts in the past week? You know, how do your legs feel? How's this compared to what you did in high school? You know, I think that especially that first year was a lot of trial and error, a lot of trying to listen to athletes. You know, it's a little different. You know, you're not drawing up plays or planning strategies. It's all about what they're doing training-wise, both physically and mentally. You know, cross country, some people view it as an individual sport, but there's also the team aspect of it. It's kind of like the only other sport I kind of feel is similar is maybe wrestling, you know, where it's sort of a one-on-one sort of battle with yourself, but yet trying to get people to buy in that if you're the number 5 guy is just as important as the number 1 guy or girl. You know, that's just kind of coaching cross country in general. But yeah, I think that aspect of listening to them and talking to them as mature athletes is, you know, something. It's tougher to do that with a high school freshman versus a college junior or senior.
Being able to explain it.
Yeah, there's a little more maturity.
Yeah. Is that your mathematician background, you think, where you're searching for that anecdotal data that maybe you could start compiling, you know, kind of a path forward and how you want to do that? Is that the mindset that you think you may have had in that?
Yeah, that's some of it. I sometimes try not to be that
analytical
because you can kind of drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, paralysis by analysis.
It's a little bit art, a little bit science.
Yep. So then we're going into year two. You kind of have a better idea, obviously, going in year two and year one. We start seeing results from both teams, particularly the men's team, but both teams start to get stronger. And we just won this year back-to-back United East Championships. Talk a little bit about the jump from year two into those championship teams. What specifically was the change in that? Obviously, it comes down to the runners buying in, but certainly the coach needs to get credit for, one, bringing those runners to the institution, but then developing them into championship caliber runners. How did you see that progression take place from a team that was sniffing a little bit, you know, top 3, top 4 finishes to the championship?
Yeah, well, obviously it's good athletes make coaches look great. So we were fortunate. Even the first year I came in, we had a few really good freshmen who are now going to be seniors in the fall. And then to follow that up the next year, we added some more depth to be successful as a team. You need 5, 6, 7 guys that on any given day can finish up in the top. We were fortunate this past season to have multiple kids on the all-conference team.
9.
Yeah.
9, sorry.
Which was exciting because even some guys that didn't really factor into the team scoring were still able to. I appreciated the way the conference did that because, you know, sometimes they don't get recognized if they're not in
non-scorers.
Yeah. So that was nice. And so some of it was just the talent they brought in, but then it was also they bought into we're going to accomplish something as a team. And I think for many of them, putting on a championship ring as a team was meant as much or more than if they would have won an individual championship. The past few weeks here, we've done some end of the year meetings with them, and there's been conversations of, I think I can help this guy, this teammate of mine, get better. And it's like, no way, you know, that was pretty unselfish. If that's a goal going into next fall, is to see your teammate improve just as much as you want to improve individually. So,
yeah, I think from a vantage point, from a 1,000-foot vantage point, now, obviously, we don't, as administrators, we don't get to interact with cross country as much as we do some of the other sports, except for that one race we have at Earth Science. We're not at home that much. Your practices are running wherever you can find spaces to run. So it's untraditional in that way. But I think what I've noticed is the culture that your cross country team has built is very unique and family oriented. They seem to be super close and enjoy spending time with each other, not only on the course, but off the course. Did that happen organically? I'm sure that's the culture you wanted, and it's there now. Like, it's very noticeable, especially from afar. So I imagine very up close and personal, you have a very good idea of what I'm talking about. When did that culture come into play, and was it something you had to push, or did it just happen kind of on its own with the student athletes you were bringing into the fold?
Yeah, that's a hard question, because I want to answer it by saying both. You know, if that is a legal answer, I think there's, you know, some of it is the nature of who they are as individuals. The nature of our practices is they spend a lot of time together running, and so they have time to carry on conversations during practice. Some days, I mean, some days we're working to the point of you can't carry on a conversation, or, you know, we're going at intensity that's greater. But so that's part of it. Some of it is encouraged. Certainly, it's kind of that band of brothers thing. It's easier to push yourself if you know there's other people depending on me. If I'm not going to let someone else down, I can ease up and not push myself as hard. But if I know others are counting on me, then I'm gonna push through. So I think we do have some of that's building up. Each year is a new year. You know, you have new faces come in, and if they're not welcomed in and don't become part of it, you can lose that. So sometimes we try to keep an eye on.
If I'm a prospective student athlete, I'm a high school cross country runner. What are you looking for in me as this high school cross country runner, and how can I get your attention in order to start a dialogue in an effort to come run for you?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to pull up mile split and see times and results and all of that. I mean, I would say that's a part of it, but I guess my experience so far in the couple of years I've been here has been, is the school a good fit for you academically and career goal wise? Because if it's not, you know, I don't want you to come here to run and not be getting the most out of your education. So I think the people that are having success in our program are also having success in the classroom, in the lab. That brings its own challenges in terms of trying to find common practice time when kids are in class a lot and taking challenging curriculums. So win and a lose in terms of the athletic side.
And so if you're identifying the student athlete, or they just want to get on their radars, the best way is probably to fill out the questionnaire on the website and or email you, and that starts the communication.
Yeah, I would say I personally prefer emails, because athletes tend to give me more information in an email. You know, they'll tell me not only about their running, but they'll tell me something in terms of their academic and career goals. Now, if they're relatively local, sometimes I have a connection with their coach, of someone that I've coached with or against from my high school days. So that's always nice. And I just feel like it's a little more personal communication than the questionnaire. But yeah, the questionnaire is a good start.
Our final two questions today is favorite moment so far. So do you have a favorite moment or two of something on the course, and then a favorite moment off the course, because you do get to spend a lot of time with your student athletes. You're on the road, you know, every weekend in the fall, and you've experienced quite a bit, I think, both on the course and off the course.
Yeah. Well, I'll start with the off the course. We, and this kind of is a carryover from my high school coaching. The other guys I coached with in high school, we decided at one point that it, having some kind of end of the season team dinner or team picnic, whatever, was good. And so the first year that I coached here, I thought, well, we'll just, you know, we'll do pasta night at our house, and not knowing really what to expect. And I was sort of had in my mind of us just sitting around eating dinner, talking a little bit about the season. But I was kind of surprised and pleased with sort of the thoughts and feelings that our student athletes shared with one another about how they felt about each other, how they felt about the season. You know, I think about my personality when I was 18 and 19, 20 years old. I don't think I would have been as open and honest. And so, you know, that's been a part of the season that I look forward to. Not that I look forward to the season being over, but, you know, it's an aspect of kind of unexpected. I learn a lot about them and about, you know, maybe some things to do better the next year or whatever. So that's just a nice time. On the course, practice, there's always the funny things that happen. You know, we've had some good laughs, but I think that first conference championship, we were down at Karen, and it was a super hot day. And actually one of our runners kind of went down and was unable to finish. Some other people were following up that normally are not in our top five that then became important in terms of scoring. And so while there was difficulty or stress with dealing with an athlete who went down, to still come away winning a conference championship and having other individuals step up, that's probably been the highlight so far.
Yeah, and that was the race, I believe, and this is maybe a unique experience to a Penn College coach, where there was that incident that happened. It was a medical thing, and we happened to have a nursing major on the women's team, Skylar Splain, that offered assistance and I think was beneficial. That is that race, right?
Yes.
Yes.
It was a strange day for mid-November. It was probably over 80 degrees, very high humidity. And I think normally our races are scheduled a little bit later in the day because of trying to get warmer temperatures. I think the men's race didn't go off until 11 o'clock. So it was starting to be the heat of the day. And one of our guys went down, and Skylar just happened to be in the area and assisted with the medical staff that were on hand. And then, you know, it was good to have him come back the following year and kind of be part of things. And so that was a process in itself, just kind of regaining some confidence and getting medically cleared and all of those things.
Yeah, what a crazy combination of events happening for the first championship. It's, I mean, roller coaster. You're winning it. A kid goes down, but one of your other students is educated and trained to help assist. Yeah, that's a really neat and unique story for sure. Great.
Yeah, actually, at our recent CATS Awards, there was an award that was given for Comeback Player of the Year. My team was on my case for not nominating Chase, who was our guy who went down, saying, "Coach, he was, you know, he was physically unable to finish the race, and then he comes back." I mean, I guess it was not kind of how I viewed Comeback, you know, Player of the Year award, but they had a little bit of fun with it in terms of, you know.
That's healthy.
Yeah, it's good.
Great. Well, Tom, thank you so much for joining us today. That wraps up this episode of